Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy Tom Fairbanks. We're off and running. Boy, got a lot of content to cover in the next hour. But, Tom, I do want to say when the forecast indicates upper 70s to 80, that's my kind of weekend. And we better enjoy it because who knows? This might be the end of the cooler kind of weather for a while.
Well, with April coming and May just after that. Yeah, I think you're probably right.
Anyway, looking very much forward to this weekend. Buckmaster and the Green Things, Zocalo Village Studio. We're part of the Bustos Media Broadcast Center. Five radio stations now under one roof. This one's 1030 KVOI, Tucson's trusted voice for live news and talk. I'm in my 15th year now with the radio show. We started back in January of 2011. And that puts me now 37th year in Tucson radio and TV. We have our worldwide listening live. You can listen to the program live and, of course, all of our podcasts, including going all the way back to that first week in 2011. At BuckmasterShow.com, when we do our telephone interviews, the live line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management, our friend Sean and the gang over there at Rincon Ventures. Our media partners, TucsonSentinel.com, and one of their ace reporters is my media co-host. I try to bring in every Friday someone to share the microphone as we interview our Friday Focus guest. It's Jim Nintzel, who spent more than 30 years with the Tucson Weekly as senior editor and is now the political reporter for the TucsonSentinel.com. And I actually remember when Jim was delivering, throwing newspapers up on to driveways. No, I don't go back that far. Don't go back quite that far with you, but you know, we go back away.
It's been a long time. I was down at AZPM last week. And,
my old stomping ground.
They mentioned that they were looking at some old tape after Congressman Grijalva passed, and they found you and I talking about Congressman Grijalva elected back in, 2002.
Yeah, quick story about that at AZPM, and Senator Vince Leach is with us, and he doesn't mind if I give this quick story. Good to see you, Senator.
I know whose name is at the top of the show.
Well, there you go. Okay, good. But do you remember when Raul Grijalva first ran, and there were like 14? It was
enough to field a couple of baseball teams.
Yes,
I think. Yeah.
And so I was given the task of, well, Bill, you've got 1 hour, and you've got all the candidates. And so 1 hour for like 14 candidates. I think everybody got 2 minutes.
An opening statement, and that was about it.
Yes, it's basically you will get a 1 minute opening statement, and the next time we see you on camera, you will get your 1 minute close. So.
And we'll see just how crowded this special election gets.
Oh my goodness, we'll talk about that later in the show. Also, a shout out to our media partner, Green Valley News, Saharita Sun, and also Tucson Spotlight, Caitlin Schmidt's new operation. Vince Leach is with us, state senator, a Saddlebrook representative who lives. He's been up in Saddlebrook. How long has that been, Senator?
We bought in 2007. Our first trip to Saddlebrook was in 1992.
From Wisconsin.
It took me that many years from 92 until 2007 to convince my wife that brown is beautiful.
Brown is beautiful. Not like Whitewater. Was that where you were from in
Actually,
Wisconsin?
Actually, central part of the state, no one would know it, but halfway between Stevens Point and Madison in cash crop irrigation country.
I would know it because I grew up in Chicago, and we would go up to a little place called Cambridge, Wisconsin, and a little lake called Lake Ripley, and we'd have a cabin up there every summer. But anyway, let's get back to the state legislature. You got your old Senate seat back in November. Previously, you had served 4 terms in the legislature. Tell me how things are different this time around. Who's running the show at the legislature?
You know, the old saying is it's very difficult, if not impossible, to go home. And so I've noticed a lot of differences. First of all, I'm not in leadership. So you don't get the same scope of everything that's going on. But we have, you know, we have probably have three factions within within our Republican Party, and they're kind of fluid. You never know who's going to go where.
And but, what are they?
They're the people that have been there and know the institution,
like
and
you.
And I'm not saying that knowing the institution is good. You do have to go with the times, but okay. You know how the institution and what the rules are, mm-hmm. As far as etiquette and going on.
Then okay, those are the old timers. Go ahead.
Yeah. Number two. Secondarily, we all know that we have the Freedom Caucus that has got a number of members. In fact, the person that I defeated and going back was a Freedom Caucus member. I'm not really sure what their position is on a lot of things. I know that they pushed the red button on a lot of legislation going through. In fact, they're
simplicity, though, they're the Trumper faction.
Well, but a lot of people up there are, Bill.
Yeah,
but they are. Listen, best way to explain it, I was always known as one of the most conservative members.
Yes.
In the Senate and in the House. When they came on the scene, I became a rhino. almost overnight.
All right, before I give it to Jim Nitzel.
And then the third yes. would be the new people that are just trying to figure out, disregarding where the restrooms are. What are the rules of the Senate? How do you get a bill passed? All those types of things.
Yeah.
So you have all those going, and you're going at, there's 1,800 bills. And you're trying to do that. We're in our 75th day. We're done hearing bills. So 1,800 bills have gone through the system in 75 days.
Okay, Jim Nitzel.
It's quite an avalanche of legislation. And, of course, you have to work on the budget. And Governor Hobbs was in Tucson this week to talk to moms who are struggling to afford child care. I think we have a waiting list again for the state-subsidized child care. And she's asking for the state to provide over $100 million to expand accessibility to help moms be able to find a safe and reliable place to keep their kids while they're working. What are your thoughts on whether the state should be upping what it provides on the child care front?
I need an elastic dollar bill. Literally. And I say that with jest, but I say that seriously. We are going to start the budget process with approximately $935 million. To the listeners, that's a lot of money. I get it. Mm-hmm. But when you deal with it every day, it kind of rolls off your tongue like it's pocket change. That's a lot of money. When you take out the things that we have to pay.
Like prisons.
Well, a lot of those... back up.
All right.
We have about an $18 billion budget total that the legislature says grace over. Two-thirds of that is on autopilot. It's already set by the Constitution and set by previous law. That leaves us, well, if you take two-thirds and a third, that leaves us with about $6 million that we at the legislature really have that we could move around.
Six hundred.
I get going. And then you have myriads of folks coming, and they come into my office. It happened this week, and they'll ask for $100 million, like it's pocket change. Mm-hmm. And so that's the task that we have. We will probably get some there. It will not be. And you have a tendency if you want $100 million, you ask for $200 million in hopes that you get and you're satisfied with 50. So there's there's that game going on. The other thing I think that we don't. I've been watching it very closely because Congressman Schweikert I had a discussion with him in December, and he said, he pointed at me, we were in an airport waiting to get on a flight together, and he said, your time is coming. And I said, what is that? He said, DOGE is real, and probably not in 25, but in 26, you're going to see the cuts really come through. And so that's going to go in, and primarily where it's going to hurt the state of Arizona, I think, the most, is in our access, otherwise known in the rest of the world as Medicaid. And so as a former, in fact, I still am, I'm on the budget committee, as I'm looking forward to the budget discussion, which really hasn't started yet at this point, I have to be cognizant of what's in front of us that we'd like to spend on, but I also have to be cognizant of what Washington, D.C. will do. And if anybody has an answer out there, please tell me, because I've never known what Washington, D.C. is going to come back with. But I can tell you that I believe that there will be significant cuts. They may not call it a cut because the president has said he's not going to cut Medicaid. It may be a shift. And they say, we're not going to cut it, but you, Jim, being at the state, you get to carry this.
So you're saying, bottom line, the repercussions of the DOGE thing are going to be mammoth in Arizona. Is that what I'm hearing?
They very
you
well
say?
Could be.
I do want to ask about the Medicaid access issue, but before that, I want to go back to the child care just real quick. Do you think it is important from an economic development level to be providing child care for moms who work?
I think we have to be very careful going down that road, Jim, for the following reason I know it's expensive to live in the good old USA. But there has to be some responsibility on the couple that are deciding to go forward with children. Now I know people are going to say, "Well, I can hear the phones ringing already," and saying he's not for childcare. I am for childcare, but I think it's got to be limited. It's got to be structured. If everybody had childcare, and we would have to have means testing. All of those things would have to go into it. So, yes, but it's got to be well-structured and well-thought-out.
And right now it is, right? The folks who are eligible for it are pretty much on the lower end of the economic spectrum.
Yes.
Okay. All right, let's take the break right here. We've got a lot more with Senator Vince Leach, segment one now in the books. And we're going to take a break, and we'll have more with Senator Leach and Jim Nintzel from TucsonSentinel.com. It's Buckmaster on the last Friday of March. Be right back.
Vero Amore, where every certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore is located in the lovely Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell. Also, check out the full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
The Regional Transportation Authority invests over $100 million annually in transportation improvements in the greater Tucson region based on public input. The RTA and its regional partners deliver roadway, transit, safety, pedestrian, bicycle, environmental, and other needed improvements to meet the demands of transportation network users over a 20-year period. Learn more about the economic and quality of life benefits of the RTA's 2006 voter-approved plan and flexible funding at rtamobility.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The News and Sun's media reach 75% of the region through newspapers, websites, social media, video, newsletters, and more. They also produce more than a dozen print and digital magazines annually for an audience of 70,000. Find them at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, covering your hometown.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Travel is in my DNA. When I'm ready to start another adventure, my trip begins and ends at our local airport, Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. TUS, where it's made easy to fly. Start planning now for your next air adventure by visiting flytucson.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Seg one is done, and we're up now with segment number two on our Friday Focus interview with State Senator Vince Leach, who is back as a state senator. He is from a Republican from Saddlebrook. When I say he's back, he was gone for 2 years because, well, he was defeated, and then he ran again and won in November. So he's back at the legislature. And during the break, he was telling Jim Nensel from TucsonSentinel.com and myself that he believes this session is going to go right up until almost let's stop the clock on June 30th, because Jim knows from some of the past sessions and over the years, they got to come up with a budget on June 30th. But I can remember where basically on July 1st, they had stopped the clock. It was still June 30th.
At the frozen time.
Frozen time until they got a budget out. And the budget picture right now looks like it's very, very dicey.
Yeah, that's a kind word. We have two different philosophies that are happening at the legislature right now. The style that I went through 8 years is where you sit down, you develop a core budget with the budget committee, and then you take that to the members. And Jim has something, you have something, everybody's got something, and you mold that in, and you discuss all of that, and it takes a lot of time. When Senator Gowen and I were doing the budget, we would start in the August before now, and we would have all the agencies in and talking about their wants, desires, and needs. Now, never mind that they had told the governor also, but we wanted to hear it so we could present it to our members. The other style of budgeting is what has become known as the Oprah budget, where everybody, and we had that in 2023, where everybody got $30 million in the Senate, and they got a lesser amount in the House because there are more people in the House, and then there was a pot of money that was given to the Democrats and to the governor. I personally don't like that. I don't think that it looks forward to the overall needs of the state of Arizona. It certainly doesn't. It takes care of maybe a road in a district, but it doesn't take care of, for example, I-10. It doesn't take care of long-term issues in the state. I'm a proponent of working on a budget through the budget committee, have them come back to the membership and present it and see where we can find. And it's brutal. I will tell you, when we passed the 2.5% flat tax, that was brutal, because we had one member that didn't want to do it. It took, I don't know how many hours over how many days to get him to come along. And then we had another member at the 11th hour that just pulled from the budget. It's one-on-one. You know where the members are. They know where the state is going financially and what projects are being identified, not only by the budget committee, but certainly the leadership. When you just open up the cookie jar and say, you get two cookies, you get two cookies.
And then do what you want with it.
And do what you want with it.
Here's Jim Nensel.
Before the break, you mentioned the potential cuts at the federal level. And one of the things that's on the minds of a lot of people are the potential Medicaid cuts to access. The state has a trigger law that if the federal match for the expansion population of access, which is the folks who were covered when Governor Brewer was pushed through under the Affordable Care Act, an expansion of Medicaid to up to 138% of the federal poverty level. That's about 750,000 people from the estimates that I've heard lately. that would automatically go away if the federal match goes down, and we have folks like the Arizona Chamber of Commerce and the Southern Arizona Leadership Council saying that this could be potentially catastrophic to the entire healthcare system for reasons that I think you're certainly understand in terms of no longer having the amount of money going into the healthcare system that we currently have, and that hits all of us when we're waiting longer in the emergency room or what have you. Do you share the concerns of the business community about those potential cuts?
I share the concerns of the business community. I share the concerns of cities and towns, and I share the concerns for the state of Arizona. On the other side of that coin is we are, in fact, $36 trillion in debt. You cannot keep borrowing money without sometimes saying we have to do something. Now, the step is how do you get there with a minimal of pain and angst? Mm. We all, I think most of us in this room right now, remember when Governor Brewer had to make cuts, and it was less than pretty. I cleaned that up. It was less than pretty. I've been led to believe, even with the Access people, our Medicaid people, I've had them in several times in my office, that probably Medicaid expansion will be gone. On the cuts, we will know the federal government, this is my belief, Vince Leach, not anything any inside, I don't have a direct line with Donald Trump. They will call it a cut because that's advantageous.
It's a shift.
It's going to be a shift. You're absolutely right. They will shift those costs to the state.
Like the state has done to the counties.
Ouch. But yes, absolutely.
Yes.
And I've been saying it since December. I remember being, we all remember Vivek Voramsky, I forget exactly how to pronounce his name. I was in just before he left the Doge group. He was speaking at a legislator lunch in Washington, D.C. And if he said it once, he said it 10 times in that 45-minute presentation, your work, legislators, is just beginning. Mm. And he didn't say what, but knowing what I was hearing from Congressman Schweikert, we legislators are going to have to get our pencils out and make really some big decisions on where we want to go.
Case in point, the Department of Education is being dissolved. What is that going to cost the state of Arizona, Vince Leach?
I'm not sure.
Ballpark.
I'm not sure if there's going to be a block grant on this, but I will tell you right now, the state of Arizona gets $3 billion from the federal Department of Education. I don't know what's going to happen before anybody jumps off a cliff out there. I don't know if there's going to be a block grant at that. I don't think anybody knows, but that's what's out there. That's a good chunk of money.
Going back to the child care for a moment, and some of the funding that the state is not providing has been picked up by the First Things First, which is a tax on tobacco.
Right.
Talking with folks at First Things First, it appears that fewer people are smoking, leading to fewer collections of that tax. However, more people are vaping now, and there is no tax on the vapes. And I think there's been an effort to potentially expand what First Things First collects by taxing vapes. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think we have to look at this. We have a bigger problem than we have the taxing issue, but we have a whole market of vaping out there that is illegal. And it's not illegal under the table type of thing. It's illegal. If you see a vape shop, you can go into it and you look at the product. We had a three-hour committee hearing on this yesterday. That it's all coming in from China. It's bootlegged in. It's buried in shipments. They say right on the box, if it's not legal in your area, it's unlawful to sell it. Now, what we do with vape, there is a portion. There's about 5% nicotine in there, and I think we have to take a look at that. It's not only when you say people aren't smoking as much, you chew, but we have the same dynamic happening with cars. Gas mileage is going up, and we don't have the money to fix the potholes. So we're as a legislator, as an appropriator, I'm hanging on with my seat saying, where are we going to get the money?
I don't know. Where are you going to get the money?
Well, we can't raise taxes.
No.
Because we can raise taxes, but it takes 2/3 majority to raise taxes. You all passed that several years ago. And so we can't decide Pepsi or Coke on a break. So you think that's going to happen? We have to continue to develop. We have to continue to develop the business community. We're trying to hold on to a large company, a $55 billion company. It's a big fight in Scottsdale. I don't know if the news gets down here.
No, I don't think we've heard too much about it. But it kind of leads me to the general point about outside influence and money. How big a deal is this in controlling the legislature?
Yeah, it's a huge deal. Let me go back. Medical marijuana was passed with all outside money. Okay, we had a referral that was funded by outside money on the cost of hospital costs. We managed to defeat that in court because there were some things that weren't constitutional in it. And this, with Axon, it's a $55 billion company, 5,000 employees here. Florida would love to have them.
They started out as a taser maker, and now they're into all sorts of other stuff. But you're saying up in the valley, they control or have thousands of jobs.
Well, they have what the union has done. It's come in from California, and they put it on the ballot, and it had to do with a zoning question, and that was fixed yesterday, by the way. We basically put an enterprise zone. You might be familiar with an enterprise zone-like solution. And we want to stay. They want to stay for them to walk away. How much growth have we had business-wise in the last 10 years of people coming in with ACA and people coming to our state? You've got Rio down here that's doing a job. We've got ACA the Commerce Authority that does 25% of their money has to be spent to recruit businesses for Southern Arizona and other parts outlaying from the state of Maricopa, and then a lot of money goes into Maricopa. But the point is, we have to grow that population of people going to work, paying taxes, rather than waiting for Mama Bear in D.C. to send a check. I think the checks are going to be slim. If any.
Take a quick call here on our live line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Matt is on the line. Go ahead, Matt.
Yeah, I apologize. I can't find the bill number or the... But basically, it's the... Vince, what's your thoughts about the... It was in the committee yesterday. Tom Litwicky, I think, was up there. He was against it, but it's a bill proposing that the people in the shelters... would be criminalized if they're found to have any activity in narcotics. Okay. And as you know,
I have the number in front of me. That is Senate Bill 1257.
Oh,
that the senator is sponsoring. Yeah. So, quick update.
Yeah,
on that.
Matt. Let me bring some light to that. What, and this is a bipartisan, it actually started here in Pima County, a bipartisan. In fact, County Manager Jan Lesher is in the middle of the negotiations, and we got it through yesterday. What we have now, Matt, is a revolving door. We have people on drugs, and we found out, not me, but medical community has told us it takes at least 5 days for meth to clear out of the system. That's the most prevalent drug that our people are seeing.
5 days.
5 days. And so what the bill 1257 would do, Matt, is take those people in, give them the opportunity to be under court ordered. It's not me pointing my finger at somebody and say, I want to put him in jail against his will. The court would order it at any time that the
individual.
The individual would say, I'm done with this. I want to go. He's free to go. This is what we're trying to do is give people an opportunity to clear meth out of their system and give them a chance and then put them into some kind of rehab program. Right now we have a revolving door. George comes in on Monday and he's back on Thursday and he's back on Sunday and he's back on Friday that week, and we're not solving the problem.
So it's like a 5-day detox thing.
Exactly.
Right? Okay.
Exactly.
All right. Jim Nintzel?
Do you think we'll see any sort of reform on the water supply issue for Arizona in the water future?
How do you know that that's one of my hot buttons? I am so frustrated. My last year there, we put $1 billion in water. In water infrastructure, to find new water, to bring new water. When I went back in this last January, only $400 million of that was spent on water projects. The other $600 million has disappeared. And I know where it disappeared. It disappeared into the Oprah budget that they did in 23. Not in that particular budget, but in the next year to make up the shortfall. And we all remember the shortfall that they had last budget year.
So water issue is just being kicked down the road. The can is being kicked down the road.
Bingo. Mm-hmm. You get the Cupid, Al. Exactly.
Wow.
It's being kicked down the road.
And
the
how many more years can we afford to do that in a state that now is in the 25th year of a severe drought?
The good thing about it is we're using less water per person now than we did back 10, 15, 20 years ago. Irrigation has used less and less water. But you're absolutely right. There's a ag to urban bill that's going through that would take money as we continue to expand, take that ag land out. We know that it takes about a third less, two-thirds less water if you go into a house versus having agriculture. But there's always a but, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you like to eat, Bill, and you like to eat, right?
Yes.
So we got to produce something somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
We have to have milk. We have to have meat. We have to have fiber. Mm-hmm. If we want, unless we want to do what we're doing with our minerals right now, buying everything and be dependent on overseas countries.
Mm-hmm. So the water situation just stays the same as far as the lawmakers.
I don't see anything on the horizon.
That's too bad.
That would put a star in my eye, and I'm frustrated about that. I remember very clearly the day that then Speaker Rusty Bowers walked in, and said, "We're going to put $1 billion over the next 3 years, $330 million a year, and we're going to put that in to finding water, whether it be out of state, in state, move water." We have water in the state. We may have to move it. And it went away.
Hmm.
And it went away.
There's been a lot of dispute about the budget for people who have family members who are developmentally disabled up at the legislature. Do you see more funding going to that program?
Yeah. I was told yesterday, I have not read... full disclosure, I have not read the governor's explanation of what's going to do. I did talk to somebody on staff on budget, and it looks like what they're going to do is take some money that has not been spent, that we've already allocated to the governor, and repurpose that money to get that. And there's still a little bit of a lot of disagreement on how much. The governor wanted $122 million. At least the Senate and the House budget committees thinks that it's $90 million. I have said from day one up there, I don't care where you want to place the blame. We've got 56,000 people under the care of DD.
Developmentally
disabled.
Okay.
In our system. They don't need, and their parents don't need, or their caretakers don't need, and those workers don't need to figure out if there's going to be a check forthcoming from the state. It's cruel, it's inhuman, and I was told yesterday by a staffer, so maybe the staffers are more correct than what we are as legislators, I was told that check should be on its way. I'm knocking on pretend wood, by mid-April. That is too late for me. I think it should have went out April 1st. Go ahead.
Then there's the whole issue of education. Is this legislature not being friendly enough to our teachers?
If you look at, there's one report out by the teachers, the teacher community and the school community, mm-hmm. that said we're 51st on this. If you look at another report that comes out from ATRA, Arizona Tax Research Association,
yes.
If you look at them, what they plot into the curve, if you will, mm-hmm. is the cost of living in Arizona, mm-hmm. Versus living in New York.
And where do we come out on their chart?
We come out about between 25 and 27, mm-hmm. maybe 30, depending on the year.
So the narrative of being at the very bottom may not be totally accurate.
It's amazing. When I travel from state to state, they all say they're 51st.
Everybody's 51st.
Everybody's 51st. And there is a bill. It's actually a referral, Prop 123, that's struggling to get legs in the House and the Senate to get out. We put that in 10 years ago, we've already paid for this coming year. We banked that money when we had money, $330 million.
This is what voters approved about 10 years ago,
exactly,
right?
Exactly.
And for it needs to be renewed.
It needs to be renewed.
Do you think it will be?
There's argument by some far right that we should not continue it.
Mm-hmm.
I think we do need to continue it. For several reasons. First of all, we just need to do it. But I would remind everybody that our school population is dwindling, not only because of charter schools, not only because of homeschools, not only because of ESAs. People aren't having kids.
Mm.
People are just not having kids. And the numbers are readily available. If you want to look at the latest report from Common Sense Institute here in Arizona, look up their last study on the school age population, and it's going down. Cave Creek, I don't know how much you know about Cave Creek. It's in a better portion, a very nice portion of North Phoenix.
Mm-hmm.
They're closing schools.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
On the Prop 123, there's some folks who say, let's just do a clean renewal of what we have now, and there's other folks who want to work in other policy issues as part of it. Do you think we should move forward with a clean one, or are there other things you want to work into that?
Personally, I would like to go with about a 4%, maybe a 3.5%, a 4% level. We are at 6.9 now.
You're talking about what you can pull out of the state land trust.
We can pull out of the state. Yeah, thank you for clarifying that. Sometimes I get going. The governor came out somewhere around 9% last year. That won't fly. I'm not a 6.9% guy. I'm about a 4% guy, and then continue it forever.
Okay.
When it goes to the voters, say,
In perpetuity.
Let's do this. Let's take segment three. Let's take the break with segment three. We'll have Senator Leach stick around for segment three. And Jim, we can hear some also about this race, who's going to succeed Raul Grijalva. We'll kind of commingle a little bit more with the senator, and then, Jim, some of your remarks, okay?
Whatever you say.
All right. So it's seg three coming up after we'll take a break right here.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastropub, serving an ever-changing menu of craft beer and fine fare.
Savor the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at West Lambert Lane in North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies. On the web at noblehops.com.
Family-owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rito River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Are you ready to immerse yourself in a diverse culture while wandering through bustling markets, sampling exotic cuisines, or forging connections with people from all walks of life? Well, Bon Voyage Travel is here to plan your perfect journey. Whether you're setting off on a solo expedition, embarking on a group adventure, or simply dreaming of far-off destinations, we can help create your custom experience. The road ahead is filled with endless possibilities. Visit bvtravel.com to find your specialized Bon Voyage Travel advisor today.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Senator Vince Leach is going to stick around here during, stick with us in studio during Seg 3, which is traditionally devoted with me talking to my media co-host. And Senator, you're free to jump in here at any point, but I want to ask Jim Nenzel about, wow, it looks like the Oklahoma land rush when it comes to who is going to be running for the congressional seat now vacated after the death of Raul Grijalva.
There are a lot of candidates because I think the thought of an open congressional seat is very attractive, but I would also say that the vast majority of them have very little name ID and are strike me as what I might call vanity candidates who are getting into the race because they like the idea of having their name on a ballot or, you know, a long shot effort for Congress. The leading contenders, we have Daniel Hernandez, who actually got into the race on Monday, former state lawmaker. And then we have Adrian Fontes, the Arizona Secretary of State, who said this week he's not going to do it. And I think we're all waiting to see what Adelita Grijalva, the congressman's daughter, decides to do. She's on the Pima County Board of Supervisors. She's actually followed her father's political trajectory from the Tucson
TUSD,
Tucson Unified School District Board of Supervisors. And Regina Romero, the mayor of Tucson, who's friends with Adelita Grijalva, decided not to run, which leads a lot of folks speculating that Adelita will decide to run. She said she did not want to make an announcement before the funeral.
Yeah, she said that on our show the week before the funeral.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So the funeral was Wednesday. So I think we're all waiting to hear her plans. And if she gets into this race, I imagine it's mostly Adelita versus Daniel. There's a very tight timeline on it. Signatures on your nominating petitions are due April 14th, I think, in about 2 weeks, April
15th.
I don't
think Adelita, perhaps, though, will have a lot of trouble.
I don't think
getting the signatures. I don't know how. Do you have know how many are required?
About 750.
Oh, okay. That's yeah.
So,
how about the Republican side? The candidate who ran against
Daniel Bustamante
is back
in, talking about running, and as are again a lot of other candidates that you and I haven't heard of before. And I think the challenge in that district, of course, is it's about 40% Democrat, 20% Republican, and the rest are independents. So it's a very tough district for a Republican to win.
Here's a question that just came in from one of our Facebook friends for Senator Leach. Senator, you want to take this for us?
Yeah, absolutely.
Should we continue this flat tax Has it been positive in the senator's opinion?
Yeah, thank you for the question. That's a question that we get often, and in fact, it comes up in a lot of committee hearings. We are, in fact, that cost about $2.5, $2.8 billion. The last time I checked with the Joint Legislative Budget Committee, JLBC for short, we were about 600,000 short of being back at the full level of income tax. And that comes from growth. You say, oh, how did you recover all that because you've lowered the tax? We recover it because wages are going up, more people are moving here, and so we have a tax increase that way. Yes, we should continue it. We're up against Florida, no income tax. We're up against Texas, no income tax. Believe it or not, we're up against Tennessee, no income tax. South Carolina just introduced a flat tax. Arizona was the first one to introduce the lowest flat tax in the country, and now everybody's chasing this because it leads to an economic advantage.
All right, Senator, let's go back to Jim Nitzel. Quickly running out of time, Jim, the repercussions from the loss, the overwhelming loss, 70% saying no to city's Proposition 414. Bottom line, Jim.
I think it's, you know, the city's certainly going to be receiving less money from the state. I think it's fair to say, Senator Leach. And the less money from the federal government certainly seems to be the likely outcome. So if the city's going to continue funding things like law enforcement and parks and roads, they're going to have to find local dollars to do it with. And figure out how that happens, and whether that means cuts in other areas or an increased tax. That's what we'll have to see.
Senator?
Yeah, thanks, Bill. You know, I always hear that, and I hear it at the state level, we're going to have to cut law enforcement right off the bat. There's a company that we're looking at that goes in and looks at what all public information on agencies. We're trying to do some business with that, and they've been able to find money. For example, in Tennessee, the state has bought some of this. They found out that the public safety agency actually owned a pet shop, and they found that by scouring the line items of the budget, and they saw that they were buying dog food. And they said, why would you be buying dog food? And they traced it back. And so we don't, and I'm not defending the legislature, but we need every tool that we can to make sure we give people a bunch of money, and then we hope that they spend it correctly. I think there's a lot of things, even at the state level, that we could tighten up.
Wouldn't that be, though, the buying the dog food for the canine units? No.
When they traced it back, it was actually a pet store.
Oh, okay.
And that's a curious side hustle for law enforcement agencies, for sure.
Okie dokie. Jim, we're out of time.
Oh, okay.
Quick plug for what you do and your team.
Oh, Tucson Sentinel, nonprofit online news. We are supported by folks here in the community, as well as grants that come into us. So if you appreciate what we do, then consider a contribution at TucsonSentinel.com.
Okay, Senator Leach, thank you very much for coming on the program.
Great to be here. Vince Leach at azleg.gov.
Do you answer your mail?
I do. I look at all of my mail. Okay. My assistant also looks at all the mail, and if he gets to it before I do, he flags them and says, you better look at this.
Okay. All right. Take a break right here. We've got Weekend Watch with 101.7 The Drive, our sister station. Ken Carr is waiting in the wings to give us some tips on what to do this weekend.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year plan is funded by a half-cent sales tax through June 2026. The funding has led to a $1.6 billion investment in regional transportation improvements over the past two decades to improve your quality of life. The RTA is working on a final draft of a new regional transportation plan for future voter consideration. The $2.46 billion draft plan includes roadway, transit, safety, bicycle, pedestrian, environmental, and other needed improvements. Learn more at rtanext.com. Located in the heart of Arizona wine country, about an hour south of Metro Tucson, Flying Leap Estate Vineyards Winery and Distillery Facilities are one of the most beautiful wine venues in the southwestern United States. Come relax and unwind at our spacious property and learn about Arizona grape viticulture and winemaking from our team of trained sommeliers and discover the intricacies of the art of distillation. Learn more at flyingleapvineyards.com.
This is your captain speaking. Thank you for flying with Tucson International Airport, where you can avoid the hassles, long lines, and the expensive parking of the Phoenix Airport. Skip the traffic, breeze through security, and park with ease, all while supporting your community. Every flight from TUS brings more destinations and better connections right here to Tucson. So next time you're planning a getaway, remember, fly easy, fly local, fly TUS. This is your captain signing off. We're cleared for takeoff.
The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
Time for Weekend Watch with 101.7 The Drive, presented by our friends over in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. It's worth a three-hour drive, I'll tell you. Look at that temperature, 70 degrees, perfect to do some hiking. Tomorrow, 63 for the high. Even better in the Gila National Wilderness, so much to do, great outdoor activities, and again, only about a three-hour drive. Start your planning now for an enchanting getaway in the Land of Enchantment. Visit their website, southwestnewmexico.org. Ken Carr is with me, the very popular midday host on 101.7 The Drive. Ken, what's going on this weekend? Give the Buckmaster Show listeners a few professional tips.
Well, the Southern Arizona Home Show is happening this weekend at the TCC.
That's a staple.
It is a staple, and it's about the time of year when people start thinking, when it gets a little warmer, about their gardens and backyards. And,
maybe a jacuzzi.
Yeah. You know, that'd be, why don't they get us one here?
I don't know. We have room out back. Well, not really.
We'll ask Mr. Bustos if he'll pony up some money for that.
Yeah.
But it's more than 200 of the area's top home improvement professionals, and displays and events and demonstrations, and it's all at the TCC today, tomorrow, and Sunday. And if you like art, there's several events, and you can kind of pick and choose throughout the weekend. The Fine Art Festival at La Encantada, that's at Campbell and Skyline, that's 10 to 5 tomorrow and 11 to 4 on Sunday. Local artists and the art that they have created, live art demonstrations. Then there is the Sculpture Tucson Festival. That's at Brandy Fenton Park at River and Alvernon. And art lovers and collectors can meet local, national, and international sculptors in a beautiful outdoor setting. So speaking of doing nice things for your garden and home, you can get a nice sculpture. We should get a sculpture of you to put right out in front of the building. That would be amazing.
Right by the flagpole.
Yes. We'll ask Mr. Bustos again to pony up the money for that.
There you go. All right. I can take another one.
A bronze Bill Buckmaster would be amazing.
Yeah.
And also the Made in Tucson Market. That is happening Sunday from 10 to 5, 7th Street between 4th and 6th Avenue. That's over 250 artists displaying their creations. 17 food trucks, free admission, a whole lot of art going on this weekend for you to see.
Wow, very top heavy with the art. And the last item kind of has that street fair feel to it.
Well, are you talking about the Arizona Renaissance Festival?
Yeah.
Oh, that's going on. This is the last weekend for that. It started in February.
That's always fun.
And that's the medieval amusement park and the 16-stage theater
jousting.
And the circus and jousting. I know. There's nothing like grown men on horses running at each other with big sticks.
There'll be a joker there, I'm sure. Thank you, Ken. We'll be listening, okay?
Thank you.
101.7 The Drive, Ken Carr. The Buckmaster Show, a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, which is wholly responsible for the content of our program. Our thanks to Ken Carr with Weekend Watch. Thanks to Tom Fairbanks on the other side of the glass, engineering and producing the show. The entire team at KVOI and Bustos Media, all of us wishing you a great weekend.